Thank you for tuning in to this morning's lesson. I want you to know that after the lesson, for those who are interested or who may like to participate, we're going to take the communion together. So before you continue to play our lesson, if you plan on taking the communion with us together, be sure to have your bread, your fruit of the vine available, and stay tuned after the lesson, and we'll pray to the Lord and commune together. Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. What a great day to be alive. The Lord's Day. The greatest day of the week. And you are a member of the greatest church on the earth, the Church of Christ. God loves you. He'll always remember you. He'll never forget you. He'll always care for you, always care about you. And at the end, heaven will be your home. We have so much to be happy for. We have so much to feel blessed for. We're blessed with Jesus. We're blessed with the forgiveness of sins. We're blessed with brothers and sisters in Christ that we love. We're blessed with our jobs, with our food, with our money. Let's always remember to give thanks to the Lord for the many wonderful things that He does for us. Our sermon this morning is on the emotion of anger. You know, God made us emotional people. He gave us the capacity to love, to fear, to have happiness, sadness, and even anger. And He teaches us in His Word that there is a positive way to express these emotions, a godly way to express these emotions. For instance, the love of a husband for his wife, the fear of big snakes, or happiness of a beautiful day, sadness over a lost loved one, or even anger aimed at the devil and sin. But He teaches us that there is a negative, counterproductive, and therefore ungodly way to express our emotions: the love of money, the fear of the future or anxiety over it, happy to see an enemy die in sin, sad to see another person blessed, or as the Bible teaches, to be soon angry. Now, anger, that can be a hard thing to understand sometimes, especially for children. And that reminds me of the daughter who was asking her father about anger. She was writing a paper for her class in middle school, and she said, "Dad, what is anger? What's exasperation? What's the difference between the two?" So he said, "I'll teach you." He said, "Come out here into the kitchen." He picked up the telephone and he just called a random number. And a man answered the phone. He said, "Hello." And the girl's dad, he said, "Hello, is Herman there?" And the man on the other end of the phone, he said, "There's no Herman here. Why don't you learn to look up these numbers before you call them? Quit bothering me. I'm busy." The man hung up. So the dad hung up. He looked at his daughter. He said, "You know, you see there, he wasn't happy." Now watch this. He picked up the phone. He dialed the same number back. This time, the same guy answered the phone. He said, "Hello." The dad said, "Hello, is Herman there?" Now the man started just about screaming, "I told you there's no Herman here. Quit calling me." And he hung the phone up. The dad looked at his daughter. He said, first he wasn't happy, but that time he was angry. He said, "Now watch this." He picked up the phone. He dialed the same number back. The man picked up the phone. He said, "Hello." He was really upset. And this time the dad said, "Hello, this is Herman. Have there been any calls for me?" Now that is exasperation. Let's focus down on anger. Some people, the Lord has said, have a real problem with anger. They either need to find it out for themselves or they need to be told. And if they got to be told, they'll either need to be told by someone or they're going to be told by life that they got a problem, or by their failures that they got a problem. It's emotions out of control. And emotions are good. God gave them to us. But when emotions are out of control, there's a problem and we need help. Soon angry, or constantly angry, frustrated all the time, easily provoked, fly off the handle. And when we have emotions out of control, we're going to harm our relationships, no matter how important they are. Screaming at people, road rage, short with your family, angry and frustrated bosses who are short with their people. We've got to learn to express our emotions in a godly way and not let them get out of control. The person to blame is ourselves. We can't blame food. I knew a man who was angry all the time. He'd always say, "Oh, I haven't eaten lunch. I haven't eaten dinner." So he blamed food for his anger. You can't blame other people. Your wife, your children, your neighbor, your boss. Or blame circumstances. It's hot. It's cold. You got to learn to put the blame where it belongs. And that's on your own heart. And when you're finally penitent and your heart is open and ready for help, the Lord can help you. Prayer will help. His word will help. But it'll never help till you admit you have a problem and you open your heart. You know, the Bible teaches that angry people, they have just a little bit different life than a lot of other folks. They may have very few friends or bad attitudes. They might complain a lot. Just racing through life, missing out on the good and the best things in life because they're just angry all the time. Very rarely enjoy things because just angry, frustrated, mad. Missing the kind of life that God wants them to have. Friends, good and positive attitudes. Got to learn to move slowly through life and enjoy it. See and enjoy the best things that life has to offer. Experience the kind of life that God wants you to have. An abundant life. A happy existence. A peaceful attitude. Now, I read an article the other day that said there's some folks that need anger management. And while I was reading it, they said there's all different kinds of groups of people that need anger management. And one of them was doctors. They said sometimes doctors need anger management. And they told a story about a woman who came to the doctor's office shouting and screaming in pain. She said, "Doctor, you've got to help me. I've been stung by a bee." And the doctor, he said, "Don't worry, I'll put some cream on it." And the woman said, "Well, you'll never find that bee. He must be miles away by now." And the doctor, he got a little upset. He said, "You don't understand. I'll put some cream on the place where you were stung." The woman said, it happened in the garden where I was sitting under a tree." Now the doctor, he got really angry. He said, "No, no, no, you dummy. I mean, on which part of your body did the bee sting?" The woman, she was still screaming in pain. She said, "On my finger, the bee stung me on my finger and it really hurts." And the doctor was banging his fist on his desk by this time and he said, "Which one?" And the woman said, "How am I supposed to know? All bees look the same to me." You know, the Lord establishes in His Word what a fool is. And the last thing you want to be is a fool. The last thing you want to be called is a fool. And the last biblical description that you want to meet is a fool. Nobody I know wants to be considered a fool. And so this subject of what God calls or who God calls a fool, it's pretty important. Because the Lord says that a man who is soon angry is a foolish man. In His Word, He makes a contrast between the wise and the fool, between the prudent and the fool, between the respected and the fool. And here's where it hits the hardest. It hits the hardest right here. The Lord says in His Word, the fool is not wise. The fool is not prudent. The fool is not respected. The fool is not really liked. And then He says that the soon angry man is a fool. Hot-headed, unpredictable, easily provoked, a pool of hot magma just under a thin crust. And God gives a description of the soon angry man. In Proverbs chapter 12 and verse number 16, the Bible says, a fool's wrath is presently known, but the prudent covers shame. And here, a fool's wrath presently known literally means he's thick-headed. He immediately shows his anger. But the prudent covers shame, which means he ignores insults. Rather than being immediately angry, he ignores insults. The prudent controls his response to insults or forgives them rather than being thick-headed and immediately angry. Proverbs 12:16, a fool's wrath is presently known, but the prudent covers shame. The next verse we have is in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 17. The Bible says, he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. A fool, driven by his impetuous and hot-headed nature, is reckless, another version says. In other words, a quick-tempered man does and says foolish things. It's amazing what will come out of the mouth of a man or a woman when they're angry. They may say some of the most vile things. You see, the Bible is right. He that is soon angry deals foolishly. An angry man may be tempted often to fly off the handle. It's very similar to a loose axe head. Everything looks all right so long as the axe is leaning next to the woodshed. But when you go to use it, off the axe head goes, and it does harm and damage to folks. A foolish, easily angered person doesn't control his temper. People talk about how they can't help it. I'm so angry I can't help it. You can help it. Believe me, you can control your emotions unless you need medicine, and that's okay. But if you don't need medicine, you can control your emotions. God has given you that power. A foolish man who's soon angry does and says ridiculous things. Does and says things that he ends up regretting later. And because they're already done or already said, you can't undo them. And one of the worst things you could ever do is to say things you didn't really mean to say in your anger and try to take them back later, because you just can't take back spoken words. And if you punch your hand through a wall, the damage is done. You know what I mean? And I'm not literally talking about walls. I'm just saying, if you're soon angry, you may do things that you wish you could take back. But if the damage is already done, it's really difficult to take it back. I've had friends who've quit jobs out of anger, who've gotten into car wrecks out of anger, who've ended up in jail out of anger, who've said terrible things that damaged relationships and friendships out of anger, lost friends, damaged relationships with neighbors out of anger. And that's what the Bible means. It's really foolish to fly off the handle like that and say and do things that bring so much damage, you just can't undo it. So you've got to be really careful, and the wise man's going to be more careful with his emotions and have his emotions under control. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 29, "He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly." You see, your relationships are always better when you're slow to anger. What does God mean? He means the church is always going to be better when the people in it are controlling their emotions. Your work life is always going to be better when your emotions are in check, when your anger is in check. Your friendships, your attitude, your marriage, everything's going to be better if you have your emotions in check, if you're slow to anger, if you've got your emotions under control. You know, this reminds me of a friend I had named Bill who got a new car. He saved for a lot of years. He finally was able to go out and buy a brand new Lamborghini. And he was so excited about his brand new Lamborghini, this big red shiny car, he took it out onto the highway to give it a good tryout. And he was zooming down the highway and he saw a big trucker and a big truck slowing up traffic. And he decided to show off his new car by cutting the trucker off. And he just pulled right out in front of him, cut him off. And as soon as he cut him off, the trucker looked down at Bill in his red Lamborghini and he motioned to him to pull over. And my friend Bill, he didn't want to get into a fight, so he pulled over. The trucker parked his truck and he got out and he had a piece of chalk in his left hand and his keys in his right hand, and he walked over to Bill and he drew a big circle on the ground. He told Bill, "You get in that circle and don't you leave." And the trucker took his keys over to Bill's red Lamborghini and put a big scratch on the side of it. And he turned around to look at Bill and he was smiling. And the trucker, he just got angry about that. Why in the world is he smiling? So he took out his pocket knife and he slashed Bill's tires. And he turned around and he said, "That'll teach you a lesson." And when he looked at Bill, he was giggling. And the trucker said, "You think this is funny?" And he got really angry and he took a bat and he smashed all of Bill's windows. And he turned around and Bill was still laughing. So the trucker, he was fuming by now, and he took out a pickaxe and he smashed Bill's whole car, ruined the whole thing, poked it full of holes. He turned around thinking Bill would finally stop laughing now, but to his surprise, he was on the ground rolling and giggling and struggling to breathe. And the trucker came over and he said, "I don't get it. I destroyed your new car. Why are you laughing?" And Bill said, You don't understand. When you weren't looking, I stepped out of this circle four times." The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 15, verse number 18, "A wrathful man stirs up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife." In other words, a hot-tempered man stirs up dissension. Fast to fight, quick to quarrel, fast anger, fast lips. But a patient man literally is slow to anger and keeps situations peaceful. Slow to anger. Slow to anger. It takes discipline. And that's why in the book of Titus chapter 1 and verse number 7, not soon angry is a qualification of a bishop in the church. In Proverbs 16 verse number 32, the Bible says, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit is better than he that takes a city." In other words, having patience and a controlled temper is honored above being even the greatest soldier. Conquering yourself is of greater virtue than conquering a city. We have to learn to identify where the problems are and apply God's word, and to prepare our hearts for greater self-control. In the book of Proverbs chapter 19, verse number 11, the Bible says, "The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression." The patience of a man, in other words, comes from wisdom. Patience is a mark of wisdom, and quick anger is a mark of a foolish man. A prudent and a patient man is not easily upset by people who offend him. He overlooks offenses. And doing otherwise always leads to trouble anyway. The Bible says in Proverbs 25, verse number 28, "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." In other words, if you don't have control of your emotions, particularly of anger, you are just a broken down city, vulnerable to attack from the devil. An undisciplined person who lacks self-control is vulnerable to trouble. The Lord just wants the best for us. He knows what we need to have better lives, better relationships, better spirits and attitudes. He wants us to have the most peaceful, the greatest, the easiest, and the most blessed life there is. And believe me, the Lord knows what He's talking about. And so when we have trouble controlling our emotions, we need to take a step back and try to apply God's word and do better. You know, the Bible teaches us that attitude is everything. It's your position of thinking. It can either be negative or positive. You can either see the blessings or complain about the difficulties. You know, you could ask a question. The Bible really asks us in a roundabout way, who are you? Who are you? And who you are is what you think about all day long. Just like you are what you eat, you are what you think. And when you're negative and frustrated and angry, you've defined yourself as a person with a bad attitude, and in the Lord's eyes, as a foolish person, because of what you think about all day, because of the position of your mind. And if you could only switch that to be more of a peacemaker, a forgiver, a patient, and a kind person, it would show through your face. It would show through your words. It would show through the kindness in your voice. People would be attracted to you. It's really hard to invite someone to come to Jesus when they see you as a negative, frustrated, and angry person. It's a whole lot easier to invite someone to come to Jesus when they see you as a peaceful, kind, patient, and loving person. So it's all about our disposition. And our disposition determines many things. Happiness. Our level of happiness, our stress level, our success in relationships, it's determined by our disposition. The peace that we have or don't have, the ability to lead others, to manage, to lead, it's all determined by our disposition. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs chapter 37 and verse number 8, and this is our conclusion, and the Lord says it succinctly, simply, and it's easy to get and to understand. Proverbs 37, verse number 8. Cease from anger. Put it away from you. Okay, brothers and sisters in Christ, it's now time for us to partake of the communion together. It's an opportunity that we have to fellowship with the Lord, to have an agreement with the Lord, to fellowship, to participate, to have an agreement in the blessings that come through the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the ascension of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if you have your bread, I want you to see that bread as an emblem, as a symbol of the body of Jesus Christ, as it hung there on the cross of Calvary. But the meaning is deeper. It is not simply a memory of the broken body of our Lord on the cross, but it also includes the birth of the body of the Lord, the life that he lived in that body, the death of the body and the burial of the body of our Lord, the resurrection of his body from the grave, and the ascension of his body to sit on the right hand of the Father in heaven on high. And so when we pray for this bread and meditate on what it means, let's remember that we are participating in the benefits of this body and communing with the Lord. We have fellowship and agreement with him this morning. Dear Lord, we come to you at this time thanking you for this bread, which is a representation of your body in many ways. And we thank you, Lord, for the participation, agreement, and fellowship that we have with you and for the benefits that we receive from your body and your life, even the forgiveness of sins. In Jesus' name, amen. And as we eat this bread, let us meditate on the Lord. Looking at and beholding the fruit of the vine, we are quite obviously taken back to the cross and the blood of our Lord. And as we think this morning about what this emblem, the fruit of the vine, means, let us remember that we are communing with the Lord and that we are partaking in the benefits of his blood poured out freely by choice and willingly on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And because of that blood, we have the greatest benefit of all, heaven for eternity. We will now have a prayer for the fruit of the vine. Lord God in heaven, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his blood. We thank you for the benefits of the blood. Help us, Lord, to be worthy, having been washed in the blood. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And as we drink this fruit of the vine, let us meditate on all that the Lord has done for us.